27 October 2002, Boulder Shambhala Center. This is talk number 5 by Kempo Tsultrum Gyamso Rinpoche on valid cognition.
Ya da densom jisong go ji tang da. Tambo.
First, we should sing Milarepa's Song of the Three Kinds of Confidence in Genuine Reality. Michael. At the feet of Marpa, the translator, I bow. From meditating here and there in natural retreat, I've gained confidence that there is no horizon. This swept away my taken past and future lives as two. Exposed all six realms' appearances as false, and cut right through believing all too much in birth and day. Hey, 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 hey. I've gained confidence in everything as equal. This swept away my taking happiness and grief as two. Exposed the ups and downs of feelings as false, and cut believing there are some to have and some to show. In inseparability I've gained confidence. This swept away samsara and nirvana seen as two. Expose the exercise of paths and levels as false, and cut right through believing all too much in hope and fear. Hey, hey, hey,
tum jo tum ba chi chi tem pe da 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 chi pe la la me chi ba ni pa ra ma la ta rong ke ba mo pe ma se chu la sa da lo ro ka chi se so ba chen lu zong bu chu pe chu chi yin gen tam jar ve yap tu jor jan ja se so ma ve sing ki chi me lo du da ye ke don lo don na je ke rom da da ma ye ke na Rōwa kañcē dāgē cē sāmbā tāṁcē kētō dāgē cē tōng tō.
Ola sōn tā yē pē simcīn tāṁcē cē tōng tō. Cē wā nīcē cē mō tāṁ. Tōng nī tō pē hīrā. Kōmbara sē tē. Simcīn cē tōng tō pē sā. Tei che to tambe chu la tu sang gom som che tsum par je wo nyam. Samba san ju jo to tu che po ngon to tong. Samba sha.
Before listening to the teachings, please give rise to the supreme motivation of bodhicitta, which means that for the benefit of all sentient beings who are as limitless in number as the sky is vast in its extent, we will meditate on and cultivate love, compassion, and wisdom. And we know that in order to do this, we must listen to, reflect upon, and meditate on the teachings of the genuine Dharma with all of the enthusiasm we can muster in our hearts. This is the supreme motivation of bodhicitta. Please give rise to it and listen.
Parden dava trapa ye, rime pale omage, Genden zuwa lakbar jor, denyi doba ngomzar chi, hi songba tab. Dene, drupa kompang la hipa, parden dawa trapen zepe, denju umalan juba le. Talam, denyi chi nam jandor duhe.
From among all of the topics that comprise the genuine Dharma, this morning we will examine some portions from a text composed by one who is praised in the following way. The glorious Chandrakirti milked the painting of a cow, thereby sustaining the entire Sangha and reversing everyone's clinging to things as being truly existent. How miraculous. This text, his text, Entering the Middle Way, was composed by one who had reached the level of the Siddhas, who had reached the level of accomplishing realization of the genuine nature of reality. And Chandrakirti's Entering the Middle Way presents a teaching on the two truths. And we will now look at an overview of this teaching. The 23rd verse from the 6th chapter of Entering the Middle Way reads, "There are two ways of seeing everything, the authentic way and the false way. Therefore, everything found holds two natures within. The Buddha taught that authentic seeing sees reality's precise nature, and false seeing sees relative truth."
Siddha nanga ngubo namla ne tsortang nanzur niyo bare ne tsortang nanzur niyo besena teni ne luk tong tamba denba tong tsortang nanzur kunzub ji denba ham nanzur tong tsur niyo re.
The reason why there are two truths, why the Buddha taught two truths, is that for all things, on the outside and the inside, there are both the way that they appear and the way that they really are. The mode of appearance and the mode of reality. And therefore, there are both a way of seeing the mode of appearance and a way of seeing the true nature of whatever it might be. When one sees the true nature of things, then that is seeing genuine reality, ultimate truth. When one sees just the way things appear and not the way that they really are, then that is to see relative truth.
Denpa la chu chin, nin chum chum chin yote, ne lok ton chur tang, nan chur ton chur ni yibse, ta chur kun.
If we put this in the form of a logical reasoning, we would say, given truth, there are two different kinds. Because there is the way of seeing appearance, and the way of seeing genuine reality.
Tenya ton duna ne log yang da ba dang ne chor dang chor chor ni re.
In short, there is the authentic abiding nature of reality and a way of being confused about that that only perceives apparent reality. For example, in a dream, one perceives forms, sounds, smells, tastes, and bodily sensations. But these appearances are not the way that things really are. They are not truly existent. So they are not the abiding reality, the genuine reality of the dream. And the genuine reality of the dream is not the same as what appears in the dream. When one does not know that these appearances are not truly existent and clings to them as being real, that is the confusion that results in perception of relative truth alone, of apparent reality alone, without knowing what genuine reality is.
Nandong Jumatawa Mlande Nandong Dang Tender Nandan Shina Triba Chembomud.
When one knows the true nature of reality, then one knows that these appearances are appearance emptiness. One knows that they are merely dream appearances. And so even though they appear, it's not a big confusion. It's not a big mistake because one knows that they are just appearance emptiness. You have here translated Karmapa Mikyo Dorje's commentary, and you should read that carefully on your own. And I will give I will offer you a brief explanation of the root verses themselves.
Yeah, that's all.
So let's recite this verse together. There are two ways of seeing everything, the authentic way and the false way. Therefore, everything found holds two natures within. The Buddha taught that authentic seeing sees reality's precise nature, and false seeing sees relative truth.
Tongwa dzongpa namba nindu de wangbo sarda wangbo junden no. Junden wangji namji shiba ne wangbo lakjur shidu lokpar do.
The next verse reads, within false seeing, there are also two types, perception with clear faculties and perception with flawed faculties. In dependence upon there being consciousness with properly functioning faculties, consciousness where the faculty is flawed is called mistaken.
Make wangbo tao wangbo servant don zurda mela pekin ji chung yo pa la ra rib don zurte wangbo chung dan den ben don zur ni re make wangbo la pekin ji chung yo pa tao chung de wang jia wang chung de jia wangbo jin nam ji xi ban ne wangbo chung me ba la tu de chur ba re.
This verse teaches us that within the realm of false seeing, that sees only appearances, then beings in the world divide perception into two types. The first kind is correct perception, when you are, for example, seeing forms with properly functioning eye sense faculties. And on the other hand, if you have, for example, a disorder of the phlegm element, then you can see outside all different kinds of falling hairs and different kinds of things which aren't really there. So in dependence upon there being a consciousness that sees things well and clearly, then there is also, in dependence upon there being that, then people in the world say, if you don't see like that and you see something, then that's a mistaken consciousness. And in this way, people in the world divide perception into authentic, relative truth and mistaken relative truth. Authentic perception of appearances and mistaken perception of appearances.
Then Rabrib Jinje Mela Surto Trahe Zagbam Droven Nao Hervata Yea Mazen Dongda Drama Lasopa Surto Nanking Monsum Tabon Tona Yang Then Nange Neji Junji Surto Zuna de da Hyavara Mado, Mune Yomare, this and Thomas Zubare. Thomas Singelor.
When you have a phlegm disorder, or if you have cataracts or some other kind of eye disease, then you can see in front of you falling hairs or bees or what look like the eyes of peacock feathers and all kinds of things like that, which aren't really there. If you didn't have this physical disorder, you wouldn't perceive them. And that's why this is called mistaken perception. Within relative perception, this is called mistaken perception.
Yeah. The name Mela, Tipe Neji Junyu, no? Kanre. Sirpur nangre, kanre sirpote, kanro karpur namala tuete, toma sinjalore, kanre karpur namate, tene yanda kunzure.
Similarly, if you have a bile related disorder, then you can look at a white snow mountain and see it to be yellow. And this is called a mistaken perception in dependence upon the perception of clear eyes seeing it to be white. So because there is this perception of seeing it to be white, in dependence upon that, if you see something, see it to be yellow, then that's called mistaken. And similarly, if you have within your heart chakra the winds, the subtle winds coalescing in a certain way, then that will produce appearances of demons that seem to be outside. And all of this is mistaken relative appearance.
Ben nyenge tsangkhor la tsang chitang tsai nang ni te me da kang ge chek pa re tsai nan ne long ro ge re te ne thile tsa tha da thile yan ro se tsa mang bo yo re te ne nyenge tsangkhor je tsa tsa la long sen je lo du hyong na te ne ser de de zon thong wa la so ba.
In general, the winds are flowing through the channels, the subtle channels in the body all the time. And so are the essences or the bindus flowing through the subtle channels all the time. But if the winds should flow in a mistaken way, then they can gather in the heart chakra and produce all kinds of appearances on the outside. And if one corrects this, applies the methods for correcting the mistaken gathering of the winds in the heart chakra, then all of these outer appearances will just vanish. Some of the things that happen when the winds gather in the heart chakra like this is you get the feeling that everybody's angry with you. Or you get the feeling that when you see two people talking, they're saying bad things about you.
And
so it's important to know that when you get these feelings of anger and paranoia and anxiety, that it's just because the winds are gathering in your heart center in a mistaken way. It's not because it's really happening. So it's when you get these feelings, then it's only because the winds are gathering in this mistaken way in your heart chakra. It doesn't have anything to do with what's really happening on the outside. It's not the case that everybody's angry with you or that everybody's saying bad things about you. It never is. It's just because you have this feeling because of what's happening in your own channels in your subtle body. So the general presentation in the world is that appearances of forms, sounds, smells, tastes, and tactile sensations that you perceive in dreams are considered to be mistaken appearances, and the ones that you perceive during the day are considered to be correct appearances. So let's recite this verse together. Within false seeing, there are also two types: perception with clear faculties and perception with flawed faculties. Independence upon there being consciousness with properly functioning faculties. Consciousness, when the faculty is flawed, is called mistaken. The objects perceived by the six consciousnesses whose faculties are free from fault are the things that worldly beings know, and it is they alone who say these things are real. Everything else is mistaken, they say.
Mega wambula, mega wambo chume bala nave, yebdan kato gudupe zog zebata menzeba parmada. Nava wambula, nava wambo chume la nave dra, nyemba, minyemba. Parma. nimni parma nai nam yela nawe te linji je tadan jazong je tela so ba am yang na te zang bo de ngem ba parma ji yo de na wo ro zang bo ngem ba parma lu je wang bo la nawe rigza na zo ba Jumai pala nama zubta taro rikse nama te yantapu kunzubri. Wangbo lo chung yuepe nama te su tamji e lopu kunzubri.
The forms perceived by a flawless eye sense consciousness, an eye sense consciousness that arises independence upon a flawless eye sense faculty. The objects that this consciousness perceives, you could say, are pleasing or unpleasant or neutral. Those are the basic three categories. Then the ear sense consciousness that arises independence upon a flawless ear sense faculty perceives sounds that fall into three categories, pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral.
Neutral.
The nose sense consciousness that arises in dependence upon a flawless faculty perceives smells that you could divide into two basic categories of natural odors and then created ones. Ones that you get by putting different substances together. And again, these could be pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. The tongue sense consciousness arising in dependence upon a flawless faculty perceives tastes that are pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. And finally, the body sense consciousness arising due to a flawless sense faculty perceives a different variety of tactile sensations, bodily sensations. So these are the things that worldly beings know and perceive, and it is worldly beings who say that these things are unmistaken perceptions.
Nama zukta teru rikse nama te yanda pata lopan jokso te jikten jen tonso la tu te yanda ta lopu kunso nisu se te yabara mato dine dava trapa ranga lo ngune mare umu lo ngune mare umma tanjurju lo mare.
The verse says, it is they alone who say these things are real. Everything else is mistaken, they say. So it is only beings in the world who divide things up this way and put into the categories of true and false in terms of what you perceive accurately with properly functioning sense faculties and what you perceive with mistaken sense faculties. But it's not Chandrakirti's tradition to divide between mistaken and unmistaken that way. That's just the worldly way of doing it.
Then in Jitin Jilola, Jitin Rangan Tonzo, the two day, Yanda don Konzo Yavani Yana, then it devondo Yapondo Gavondo.
Worldly people, though, are happy to have the division like this when they divide things between correct perception and mistaken perception in this way, then their minds feel at ease.
Tene chetang nan zu la sam na cho che la yang mu ye cho tsam man tong wa dun ro ke ne gang don tong wa ye da je na tha don tong wa nye wa chan ya je cho chu ko man tong wa
Lanam But actually, even with regard to just one object of perception, for example, a river, then sentient beings perceive this in many different ways. So human beings see that as clean water. Animals see it as a place to live. Hungry ghosts would see it as pus. Those in the hell realms would perceive it to be hot, molten lava. And those in the god realms would perceive it as nectar, as amrita. So each sentient being of the six types has a different way of looking at it. So there are six different ways of seeing just one object. And we can infer that this is the case just by knowing that, as we do, that human beings and animals perceive this object in different ways. So based on knowing that these two types of sentient beings perceive it in two different ways, we can make a logical inference that other types of sentient beings perceive it in different ways as well. Take as another example any famous person in the world. Well, there will be some people who look at this famous person or leader and see that person to be wonderful, see them to be a great friend. When these people see this person's form, it makes them very happy. When they hear this person talk, then they feel great. On the other hand, there will also be people who don't like this person at all, who consider the person to be a terrible enemy. And when they see this person's form or hear this person's speech, they feel horrible. So that's why when you really investigate, you see that you can't actually say that this person is good or bad. You know, neither one is 100% accurate. And even though this is the case, it doesn't stop sentient beings from thinking that their own perception of this person as being good or bad is accurate. So even though when we investigate, we know it's not right, still, if we see somebody to be good or bad, we think that that's how they really are.
Tumunga taza de karesena ne lu nyamba ni imbata. Pachaka wangan tonzo tade yobare.
What this demonstrates to us is that since there are so many different ways of seeing one person, then all of these different ways of perception are actually equality. That this person is the equality of all of these things. And at the same time, each individual way of perception is not truly existent.
Nāpā mēpā wāmbu chūnāṁ zhūngvā gāng yī jītīng jītō jītīng nīlē dīng lāma jītīng nīlē lōpār nāmbārīyā.
Together? The objects perceived by the six consciousnesses whose faculties are free from fault are the things that worldly beings know, and it is they alone who say these things are real. Everything else is mistaken, they say.
Dani chikindo takpar sepa namdo ka tapata. Juma mekju sola tapaka. Juma da mekju sola sepa namje denbar tapaka yamba teda. Jikti leja yomai. Jikti tani kunzu jewe wangdo sena yang madupre. Yeah.
Likewise, the self that is imagined to exist by the Tirthikas whose minds are overcome by the sleep of ignorance, as well as anything that mirages, illusions, and so forth could be imagined to be, even worldly beings know to be non-existent. The Tirthikas who believe in the existence of a self that has the properties, for example, of being permanent and being unarisen and being something which doesn't perform any functions and all of these different things that they say in their texts. They say because their minds are overcome by the sleep of ignorance. And worldly beings know that this self that has these kind of sort of strange properties is non-existent. And at the same time, when worldly beings are confused about mirages or illusions or other kinds of empty forms, hallucinations, and think that these different mistaken appearances are truly existent, then even beings in the world know that that is a mistake. That to think that what appears in an illusion is real is a mistake, and in fact, these illusions and so forth don't truly exist.
Dordona, metignam je kelembe dada, juma mikjuso la dembar takwa teda, dene jiktin je lola yang madopre. Tsundon teme je na yang madopre.
Tsundon.
Tsundon tsuru.
In short, the self that is described as having these qualities by the Tirthikas, and those who believe that what appear in mirages, illusions, and so forth are truly existent, all of this type of perception, even people in the world know is a mistake. Even a valid cognition, or even you could say analysis that is confined to what people understand in the world, even that kind of analysis demonstrates that this self doesn't really exist and that the things in illusions and mirages and so forth don't really exist.
Tene tumungu yurda nebe konso tene kado mambu zi tsoba mambu ja tenda wuzo yurido.
The Tirthikas and the Buddhists lived in the same country in India, and they spoke the same language, And so since they were neighbors and they had very different ideas, they debated a lot with each other. And they each attempted to prove their own position and refute that of the other. But there were no Tirthikas in Tibet. So in terms of what they believed, we have to take Chandrakirti's word for it. And in terms of the refutations of their ideas, we follow after Chandrakirti. But in Tibet, there was no direct experience of debating with a Tirthika. We'll recite together. Likewise, the self that is imagined to exist by the Tirthikas, whose minds are overcome by the sleep of ignorance, as well as anything that mirages, illusions, and so forth could be imagined to be, even worldly beings know to be non-existent.
Verse
27 reads, just as the vision of one stricken by cataracts cannot controvert what the consciousness of one with healthy vision perceives, so those whose minds have rejected stainless wisdom cannot invalidate what those with stainless minds realize.
Tama mebe hirap pamba, hirap yanta pa pamba, tundan juji ji hirap yanta pa pamba, tumuk jinji lu, tini je, tama mebe lula nugmare, hirap yanta pa jinla nugmare, tama mebe lula nugmare, hirap yanta pa jinji hirap la nugmare, pekare.
A mind that has rejected stainless wisdom, that has rejected the investigation of the true nature of reality with the use of prajna, precise knowledge, intelligence. And this mind cannot, that has rejected wisdom, cannot controvert what a mind endowed with wisdom knows. In the same way that someone who has problems with their eyes and sees all of these falling hairs, can't controvert the perception, the eye perception of someone whose vision is clear. So just because that person sees all this stuff out there, they can't say this stuff is really there and override what someone with clear sense faculties knows, that those objects don't really exist.
Hira meba. Hirab yanta ba meba, hirab samu meba, mumbaloi hezurta, kele zurta, hezurti, hezurti, hirab yanta ba yoba, lodu yoba namje, lodu le nugumare. Meg rabreb jinje, mikpati rare mepe mehila manoba yese, peikonitabare.
So those who do not have knowledge of the true nature of reality, who reject, who are absent from an understanding of the difference between the way things appear and the way things really are, all they have is appearance. And they make up different theories about what exists and what doesn't, and so forth. But all of their explanations about appearances cannot controvert what is known by those who have an understanding of the true nature of reality. They can't disprove what those with knowledge of the true nature of reality understand. In the same way that however people who have an eye disease might think about the little things that they see out in front of them, whatever theories or beliefs they might have about those appearances cannot controvert what is known about them by those whose eyes are perfectly clear. If it were the case that actually those whose minds were totally bewildered would be able, with their explanations and understandings, to controvert what those who are free from bewilderment know, if they really could do that, then everyone would just be living in total ignorance. There'd be no point in knowing anything. In the same way that if those with eye disease could controvert the perceptions of those whose eyes functioned well, then everybody would just end up with eye disease. But it's not like that. The point is that the way that those who are afflicted by ignorance explain things cannot contradict, cannot controvert the way that those who have precise knowledge of genuine reality explain things. If we put this in a way that's easy to understand, those who have accurate knowledge of the true nature of reality do not follow the explanations of those who don't. Just as the vision of one stricken by cataracts cannot controvert what the consciousness of one with healthy vision perceives, so those whose minds have rejected stainless wisdom cannot invalidate what those with stainless minds realize. Bewilderment obscures the true nature, so it is relative. Whatever it contrives appears to be true. This the Mighty One called the relative truth. The noble ones know these contrived things to be merely relative. Given bewilderment, it is relative because it obscures the true nature. So in the term relative truth, now we know what the relative part is. It is the bewilderment, and this bewilderment is classified as being only relative because it obscures the true nature. That's the first part of the term. The second part is truth. Where does that come from? Well, whatever this bewilderment fabricates or conceptually projects, whatever it contrives and makes, it believes to be true. So that's the truth. The truth is that bewilderment thinks that these things that it projects are truly existent. And this is the way that the Mighty One, the Buddha, taught relative truth to be.
Jumbalo, Trubalo, Tomoke, Tajin, Dembar Nankin, Dembar Himba Tamje, Tenekonzobre.
Whatever the mind that is afflicted by bewilderment contrives, imputes, superimposes, or imagines, it believes to be real. It believes to be truly existent. And this is the definition of relative truth. It is what the bewildered mind believes to be real. Since these appearances are just confused projections of a bewildered mind, they are not true. They are not real. But the confused mind doesn't know that, and it thinks these things are real. It thinks they are true. And that is relative truth. The truth in relative truth means that the bewildered mind believes these appearances to be true. You take these relative appearances, analyze them with prajna, and you find that they don't really exist in the way they appear to be. But the confused mind doesn't make that analysis, thinks these things are true. And that's why the name relative truth is given. Relative truth means that the bewildered mind believes relative appearances to be truly existent. Together? Bewilderment obscures the true nature, so it is relative. Whatever it contrives appears to be true. This the Mighty One called the relative truth. The noble ones know these contrived things to be merely relative.
Rabrib tuye trakhe lasop ngo loba kangi namdaba. Tenyi dani kangdo mektabe tongde tenyi tegi derhiji.
False entities that are imagined to exist, such as the falling hairs that appear to one stricken with eye disease, how their nature is seen by one with flawless eyesight. This is how you should understand reality's precise nature to be.
Tene rāvrīp jī nē tāng trātē, tēnē ngō bō, rāngcī jī ngō bō ngō sū tōng tōng wā tāng trākare tōng tāng tōng wā tē.
This verse describes the way of perceiving genuine reality. And so it uses the example of one who has an eye disease perceiving falling hairs or whatever else they might see out there as a result of their affliction. As a result of their sickness, they project the existence of these objects outside. Now, what is the way that one who is free from this sickness sees these objects? The way that one with good eyes sees is just to see the actual characteristics of whatever it is that's out there, whether a person is seeing falling hairs in front of a piece of paper or looking at snow in a certain way and making a mistake, then whatever the way that the person whose eyes work well perceive those actual objects, then that's the same as how those who perceive the precise nature of reality see. The relationship is the same.
Don tambe denba ngusum tu duwa ne marek ba da den den je dribje dan drate chunyi ngusum tu duwa inde pena rabrep chin je rabrep je ne ne le torbe trakhe ma duwa yindo tene marek be dribje dan drate chunyi ngusum tu duwa.
Those who directly realize the true nature of reality are free from the obscurations of believing things to be truly existent. They are free from the obscurations of ignorance. And so they perceive reality just as it is. In the same way that those who are free from eye disease perceive the falling hairs seen by those who have an eye disease. So the relationship is the same. Just as those with good eyes are free from eye disease and can see objects just as they are, so those who perceive the true nature of reality are free from the obscurations of ignorance and clinging to true existence, and so they can perceive the true nature of reality just as it is. False entities that are imagined to exist, such as the falling hairs that appear to one stricken with eye disease, how their nature is seen by one with flawless eyesight. This is how you should understand reality's precise nature to be. The next verse is a refutation of the idea that worldly cognition is valid cognition. And so it reads, if worldly cognition were valid, since worldly beings would see the precise nature of reality, what need for the noble ones? What would the noble path accomplish? For the foolish to have valid cognition would be illogical.
Katen jik ten je lo la zogda tero rikza dembar nama yenda dembar yin. Dembar yinbe dedo ke tsorwa yona yang tsema mare. Karsen jik ten je ton tsor te tsema yina jik ten je te kona nyam ton tambe dembam ne lo tonwe Tome sena, papa yinje kargore, pendo kayamado, jigu. Papa lan torwe yan jikisa de guba maparta. Jitin lumbo nam jetene, toma de tsema imbese. Tisa jumsin tiye sena, lumbo tsema reba maino. Jitin mumba lumbo donzo de tsema.
If worldly cognition were valid, what is worldly cognition? Worldly cognition is to perceive forms, sounds, smells, tastes, and bodily sensations in a way that these things appear to be real. One believes that they are real. And one seems to have further experiences confirming one's original belief that they are real. That is worldly cognition. If this worldly cognition were valid, then that would mean that this would be the way things really were. This would be the genuine nature of reality. If that were the case, there'd be no need for anyone else to give any explanation of the true nature of reality. There'd be no need for any realized beings. What else could they say? There'd be no need for any Dharma path. What would be the point? The beings would already know the true nature of reality. So Dharma would serve no use. And realization would be meaningless because everybody would already have realization already. The perception of the foolish, therefore, the perception of worldly beings is not valid cognition. The way that worldly beings perceive appearances is the same way we do when we dream and we don't know that we're dreaming. And that's why it's not valid cognition. Of course, worldly beings have their own way of saying what is valid cognition and what is not, what is an accurate perception and what is not. But as soon as you start investigating these presentations with logical reasoning, with analysis, using your intelligence, your knowledge, then it all falls apart. And you find out it's not really like that at all. Because worldly beings believe, each worldly being believes that their own projections are accurate, that their own perceptions are true. And so they're just like in a dream where they don't know that they're dreaming. Worldly beings are filled with ignorance. If worldly cognition were valid, since worldly beings would see the precise nature of reality, what need for the noble ones? What would the noble path accomplish? For the foolish to have valid cognition would be illogical.
Nam goin jikten semin te se tenye kapsun jikten nabam. Jikten tonen jikten tranin jik.
Since worldly beings' perceptions are never valid cognition, they can do no harm at the time reality's precise nature is explained. If worldly objects are denied, then since they are renowned in the world, worldly beings can controvert such denials. When one investigates and determines the precise nature of reality with prajna, with reasonings searching for ultimacy, then at that time, when one comes to understand emptiness, the true nature of reality, that understanding cannot be controverted, contradicted by what people in the world believe. Because people in the world's perceptions are not valid cognition. Worldly beings' perceptions are not valid cognition because they believe that things are truly existent in the same way that they appear to be truly existent. In other words, they believe things to exist in exactly the same way they appear. And in this way, they are corrupted by bewilderment. Well, then, what can worldly beings' perceptions controvert? Well, if you're staying wholly within the way things are understood in the world, and you deny the existence, you deny the appearance of relative objects to worldly beings, you say that those appearances aren't there, and then that worldly beings can controvert because they can say, no, it really does appear to me. For example, when worldly beings are thinking about things, or when things are being presented in terms of the way that worldly beings understand them to be, for example, if you say that fire is hot and burning, or water is wet and moistening, and somebody else comes along and says, no, fire is not hot and burning, then worldly beings can contradict that. So what this is explaining is that when genuine reality is being explained, then worldly beings' perceptions cannot controvert those explanations. But when one is talking about what people in the world perceive and convention as it is renowned in the world, then if you contradict that, then worldly beings can say accurately that no, that's not how it is. So I have now given you an explanation of the two truths as they are explained in this text by Chandrakirti, based on explaining the meaning of the root verses themselves. You have Mikyo Dorje's commentary translated here, and you should read that many times. Look and see, how does Chandrakirti describe things in his own root verses? How does the Karmapa Mikyo Dorje explain them in his commentary? Investigate.
jo mebam je derwa yang jukpen derwa jon do tene jaran so ote khado ne yang lo na ya pore.
And also recently Ju Mipham's commentary to this text has been translated completely in English and has been published by Shambhala under the title Introduction to the Middle Way. And it would be very good if you read that book too. Read the same sections here and compare. When you look at these different commentaries, you can see how the same root verses are explained in similar or differing ways. And that's called research. And this research is very good to do. The focus of it, the object of your of the research here is excellent. And in the future, Gelugpa and Sakya commentaries will also be translated. And it's very good to look and see how these different scholars and masters explain the difficult points in different ways. That's good research project. These days, it's easy to do research because you can put things on a computer and look at different texts at the same time and see right next to each other how they're the same or how they're different. So the whole thing is much easier. So you can get to one root verse, and if you see that different commentaries explain things differently, then you put that those different sections in your computer, and you have a very easy way to look at the differences again. If you don't have a computer, then you have to keep going back and reading the commentaries over and over again, and that takes a long time. For example, Jeffrey Hopkins found, collected 27 different commentaries that explain Jetsong Kapa's, one of his main writings called the Drange Lekshe Nyingpo, the excellent explanation of the provisional and the definitive meaning. And he's comparing all these commentaries, explanations. And I didn't know how this would be possible. How could you look at and study 27 different commentaries? But now I know he probably has them all on his computer and he can read lots of different commentaries at the same time. So it's not that difficult. And so if you also want to go beyond just an understanding of knowing what the root verses say and go deeper into it by looking into different commentaries, then it's perfectly available. They're perfectly available and you can do that kind of research easily. In general, they say this is the age of research and inquiry, and we can know this by just seeing how scientists look into everything. They spend so much time even following around turtles and even little ants. They undergo great hardship and spend an incredible amount of time just watching what the little ants do. And so if they can put that much effort into doing that kind of research, then we can certainly do a little research into the Dharma. The results will be more beneficial. At the same time, though, if you watch the documentaries of that depict these animals, then that's also helpful for Dharma practice because you can get a good understanding of how appearances don't truly exist and how that they are just dependently arisen mere appearances. So let's recite all of the root verses that we went over today. There are two ways of seeing everything, the authentic way and the false way. Therefore, everything found holds two natures within. The Buddha taught that authentic seeing sees reality's precise nature, and false seeing sees relative truth. Within false seeing, there are also two types, perception with clear faculties and perception with flawed faculties, independence upon there being consciousness with properly functioning faculties. Consciousness, when the faculty is flawed, is called mistaken. The objects perceived by the six consciousnesses whose faculties are free from fault are the things that worldly beings know, and it is they alone who say these things are real. Everything else is mistaken, they say. Likewise, the self that is imagined to exist by the Tirthikas whose minds are overcome by the sleep of ignorance, as well as anything that mirages, illusions, and so forth could be imagined to be, even worldly beings know to be non-existent. Just as the vision of one stricken by cataracts cannot controvert what the consciousness of one with healthy vision perceives, so those whose minds have rejected stainless wisdom cannot invalidate what those with stainless minds realize. Bewilderment obscures the true nature, so it is relative. Whatever it contrives appears to be true. This the mighty one called the relative truth. The noble ones know these contrived things to be merely relative. False entities that are imagined to exist, such as the falling hairs that appear to one stricken with eye disease, how their nature is seen by one with flawless eyesight. This is how you should understand reality's precise nature to be. Worldly cognition were valid, since worldly beings would see the precise nature of reality. What need for the noble ones? What would the noble path accomplish? For the foolish to have valid cognition would be illogical. Since worldly beings' perceptions are never valid cognition, they can do no harm at the time reality's precise nature is explained. If worldly objects are denied, then since they are renowned in the world, worldly beings can controvert such denials.
Chutanye balakare.
Tendril tang namchu gi drabu vichu shi. Rebella.
Ya yuro.
Kasang sung sung chapter yomare.
Oh, yeah.
In our second session today, I will explain to you the general explanation of dependent arising and also the results of thorough analysis. And then after that, there will be time for you to ask questions. Now, please sing Milarepa's Eight Ornaments of the Profound Meaning.
Twelve.
I'll sing a verse just to give you an idea of the melody, and then we can start over together. To cut through exaggeration from within, is this not view not spoiled by any extreme? Dress it in scriptures, adorn it with reasoning, and this will serve as its special embellishment. To cut through exaggeration from within, is this not view not spoiled by any extreme? Dress it in scriptures, adorn it with reasoning, and this will serve as its special embellishment. When into the Dharmakaya thoughts resolve, is this not a self-emergent meditation? Dress it up in the realm of experience, and this will serve as its special embellishment. The sixfold collection, purified where it stands, is this not the conduct that goes with equal taste? Dress it up in a sense of timing that's right, and this will serve as its special embellishment. When experiences of emptiness, bliss well up, is this not the point of whispered lineage instruction? Dress it in four empowering abhishekas, and this will serve as its special embellishment. When the vivid vision of emptiness unfolds, is this not the evolution of paths and levels? Dress it in signs that come while traversing the path, and this will serve as its special embellishment. When your mind has arrived at the point where the riddle is solved, is this not Buddhahood gained in a single life? Arrayed in khadis, the Buddha Kaya's the four, and this will serve as its special embellishment. Master of scriptures and logic and special instructions, is this not called a lama who holds a lineage? Adorned with a noble heart of true compassion, this is what serves as his special embellishment. One who has faith with compassion is amply endowed. Is this not a student comprising a suitable vessel? Fully equipped with respect and devout commitment, this is what serves as a special embellishment. In brief, one comes to terms with mind through view. Meditation turns this into experience. Conduct fills in the picture in every detail. What actually happens for Kaya's manifest? The fruit of all this is asserted in terms of mind. Realization is seeing these all come down to the same.
Tindikalson Tadajitawa Ranzongo Gomba Ronyunje Joba Tengjin de Chevala Jarwa Tene Judinja Lama Ne Dinja Loma Tang Jin de Cheva Tang Jin Membata Tendrawa Shevare Deyang Kachimbur.
In this song, Milarepa describes the view that is free from extremes, meditation that is self-emergent, the conduct of equal taste, in a way that first describes them in their basic state, and then when they are made more beautiful, when they are embellished. And then at the end of the song about a lama, a teacher who has the actual characteristics of an authentic spiritual friend, and what students who are suitable vessels for the teachings, what their characteristics are, first in a basic way and then in a way that is beautified by special features, embellished by special features. So this is all important for us to know. May all attain omniscience. May it defeat the enemy wrongdoing from the stormy waves of birth, old age, sickness, and death from the ocean of samsara. May I free all beings by the confidence of the golden sun of the great east. May the lotus garden of the Rigdon's wisdom bloom. May the dark ignorance of sentient beings be dispelled. May all beings enjoy profound, brilliant glory.
Nendere nemo dele, dendele, nyeme kumyang dele, nyemzen tado dele, kunjo zomje traji ju. Yeah.
Let's sing all these forms.
All these forms, appearance, emptiness, like a rainbow with its shining glow. In the reaches of appearance, emptiness, just let go and go where no mind goes. Every sound is sound and emptiness. Wait, the sound of an echo's roll in the reaches of sound and emptiness. Just let go. Feeling is bliss and emptiness, way beyond what words can show. In the reaches of bliss and emptiness,
Just let go and go where no mind goes. All awareness, awareness, emptiness. Way beyond what thoughts can know. In the